Hi there, this is Barbara.
Hello. Hi there.
And we're on the call. Hi, everybody. And I'm going to go ahead and get everything set up on the call here. Hold on 1 second. If everybody wouldn't mind pressing *6, and we'll go ahead and we'll mute the call in case we have any background noise, and then we'll get started. All right. So, again, this is Barbara Deckmeyer, and I just got to tell you I'm really excited to be here today to have you on the line. And I've got so much great information to share with you today, and I have to tell you that, oh, my goodness, the information that you're going to learn is going to be very powerful, and it's going to really help your business quite a bit to grow your business and to bring in some extra income. A little bit about me. I wanted to tell you I'm an interior designer myself. I've had my own business for about 23 years. I've been in the industry since 1986, and I have a design degree, and I had a very successful window treatment business in a little small boutique town called Laguna Beach. It's a very high-end beach community, and specialized in very high-end window treatments and bedding, and I got into doing online marketing and really enjoyed that so much when I was marketing my own business and learned quite a bit and wanted to go ahead and bring that to you and share that information with you so you can expand and grow and develop your business in new ways in this new economy. Because the way things worked in the old days, as George and I were discussing, just aren't working anymore. Referrals and word of mouth or running high-end, glossy, expensive magazine ads, you know, and the yellow pages just aren't working today. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how you can use blogging to grow your interior design business and bring in some the extra added income that you need in order to be have a great business like we used to have in the old days when the money was just flowing in. So what we're going to do, one of the first things we want to talk about today is how to decide once and for all which is the best blogging platform for you. So as you know, that with WordPress, there are two kinds of WordPresses you can use. You can use a WordPress.com or you could use a WordPress.org. There's also other blogging platforms out there like Blogspot, TypePad, but the one we're going to talk a lot about today is WordPress. WordPress.com has 11 million users on its platform. Now, it's hosted by WordPress themselves. So they have what's called a self-hosted version and the one where you can sign up and have WordPress hosted. It's a great platform to use because it's very easy to start out with, and it's wonderful for learning the basics of WordPress. It's really fast. You can get a blog set up very quickly, and as I said, the learning curve is very short, so you're able to, you know, get on there and get started blogging and get some exposure for your business. There's no cost, so it doesn't cost you anything. And you don't have to worry about any kind of self-hosting, you know, dilemmas or server problems, or if your site goes down, you don't really ever have to worry about anything like that. Now, there's also one that's called WordPress.org, and that's one that's self-hosted. And you have 14 million users using WordPress.org. Now, what you do with the self-hosted version is you would download and install the software yourself on your own server. Now, many web hosting companies where you would be hosting your website have WordPress, you know, capabilities to download real fast and real easy, so it's not difficult to do. It's not a difficult thing to do. One of the benefits of WordPress.org is you can customize your site quite a bit more than you can with the WordPress.com. So you can add custom headers, you can do custom themes, plugins, and all kinds of other functionalities that you can add when it is self-hosted that you cannot have when you have it hosted on WordPress.com. One of the things that I really like is on the WordPress.org platform is you can set up a gallery. There are some very beautiful gallery plugins that are out there on the internet and available for free that you can spotlight or do slideshows or do some beautiful presentations of your work in your gallery page with specific little plugins on a WordPress.org site. But you can't do that on the WordPress.com. Now, with the WordPress.org, there is a longer learning curve. It takes longer to learn it and to set it up. You also have to pay a little bit of money for your hosting. You pay about $6.95 a month if you go with Bluehost. And that's kind of the going rate these days. The WordPress.org is better for SEO purposes because Google just loves WordPress. Loves WordPress. You get better rankings and you move up higher in the search engines when you use WordPress. It is also much better for your business, for your branding, to have your website that says interiordesignsbygeorgia.com versus interiordesignsbygeorgia.wordpress.com. Your branding is so much better when you have a WordPress.org site. You look more professional. It shows that you are taking your business seriously and you're not using your business as a hobby. Your marketing and your advertising and all of your branding for your business is very important today. Very, very, very important today. Now, I highly recommend the WordPress.org version, which is the self-hosted version, over the WordPress.com version. However, if you're just learning and you want to just kind of get your feet wet and learn about blogging and you haven't done it, you can test it out a little bit on the WordPress.com, learn your way around, and then you can migrate. There's a very easy way that you can migrate all of your content that is on your WordPress.com site over to your WordPress.org site. So I hope that makes sense. It's a pretty simple process to do. Now, the other version that a platform I was going to talk briefly on is called Blogger. Blogger is a blogging platform that's very popular, and that is Google's platform. Google bought Blogger several years ago and offers that as a blogging platform. Now, the thing about Blogger is very similar to, it is not self-hosted. You know, it's similar to WordPress.com. But the one thing that I actually really like about Blogger is they have a lot of sites online that can offer you free backgrounds. Here's a little tip for you. If you go onto Google and you type in free blog backgrounds and do a search, you will find all kinds of websites of people that make backgrounds for Blogger blogs. And there's some really great ones. There's some that are a little hokey and kind of funny and might not be real professional, but they are still some custom-made backgrounds, and you just be careful not to get anything that looks too homemade. But it's kind of a fun way to customize your site and make it real personal for your business. So next, we're going to go ahead and move on to the 10 ways that you can use your interior design blog as a lead generator. Now, first of all, the whole premise behind doing a blog is what I like to call to help your customers with the know, like, and trust factor. The thing about that is you want your customers to know you, you want your customers to like you, and you also want your customers to trust you. So when you are blogging about your business and you're talking about your projects or you're giving your opinion about a photo in a room or anything that you're posting on your blog, it's helping your readers to get to know you. it's also helping them, you know, to decide if they like you, they like your style, they like your, you know, your mission statement, how you conduct your business. They're getting to know all about you on your website. And the best thing about doing that is you are showing them about you, and they're doing it on their time. So they can look at your website at midnight, at 1 o'clock in the morning, at 3 a.m. They can look at it at 7 a.m. They can look at it when you're, you know, driving your kids to school. So the more that you can personalize your blog, still keeping it professional and not getting too personal, the better. So what you're doing with the know, like, and trust factor is you're building credibility, and you're branding your business, and you're qualifying your customers themselves, are qualifying themselves on their own time. So that being said, when your customer comes to your site, or your prospect comes to your website the very first time, I'm sorry, to your blog the first time, what you want to do is, number one, you want to capture their important information as much as you can from every single visitor that lands on your site. So if you have something that you'd like to offer, like a little free report, or, you know, a how-to, or tips on where to get great deals in your town, anything like that that you can offer to your potential prospect for free is a great way to get their name and their email address. And so you can put them on a mailing list, and you can start sending them information about your business via your a newsletter or your email. So one way you want to do that is you want to include what's called an opt-in box or a subscription form. And that's where you say, get my free report on the top 10 places in town to get a great deal on furniture or flowers or whatever you would like to include. And you want to make sure that that opt-in box is on every single page of your blog. And usually the way you do that is you put it in the sidebar, and that's usually the long, skinny, you know, bar either on the right or the left or wherever you have it on your site. And you want to make sure that that opt-in box is very prominent. Typically, we like to include it in the upper right-hand corner, as far up to the right as you can. Then, when your prospects are interested and they like what you do, they give you their name and their email, and you've captured their important contact information for you to stay in touch with them. Okay? Number two is you want to generate leads by showcasing your work. And, of course, we want to do that on your blog in a gallery page, or you can do success stories, something like that, and you can do that in a number of ways. You can do that with video, which is fabulous today and very popular, and also with photos. And it's a great way to allow your prospects to see your style of work, how professional your work looks, how great, you know, the work you do. You can write up a little something about it and do what's called a case study. Say this customer, you know, you give the parameters of your job, of what the limitations are that you were given, maybe a budget, or had to work within certain colors, or, you know, your customer, you know, has kids or no kids, whatever your parameters are, if you include that in a little history about the project and then post that, that's a great way for customers to say, prospects, I'm sorry, to say, oh, I really like that. I'm going to give her a call. The third way to use your interior design blog as a lead generator is with your testimonials. If you've gotten testimonials over the years, and I certainly hope you have, what you want to do is you want to use your testimonials on your blog, and you really want to use them liberally. Use them all over, everywhere you possibly can on your blog. Because if you can think of an online testimonial that you include on your blog as a sort of online referral, now it's kind of like, you know, your customer, a previous customer, has said fabulous things about your work. And they go out and they tell all the people that are coming onto your website about how great you are and how beautiful the work is and how happy they are. And it's like a referral. And so, but being able to include that all over your website is your way of giving positive feedback. It's a subliminal message. It says you're so great, you do a great job. And you want to have your testimonials be very specific, not just a lot of them, but you want them to be very specific. You don't want them to say, I just love the furniture we did, or I love the color, or your drape, the drapes we did are fabulous. We want to say, before you came in, it was so hot in the room, and the sun was blaring in. We couldn't even sit in the room without having to wear sunglasses. And so after you came in and put in our window treatments, we were able to really enjoy the room. It's very cool, and that we can enjoy our view, and we don't, you know, don't roast in this temperature. So that's the other thing you want to do. Include your testimonials liberally all over your site, and you want to be very specific. All right? Now, number four, are your contact details need to be very clear and very easy to find on every single page of your blog, preferably in the header. Now, I'm sure you, like me, have been on websites where you're looking for the Contact Us page. And I just can't, don't you just hate it when you go on the website and you're trying to find a way to call in the person and or the company or the phone company or whoever it might be, and you have to go five pages deep and it's little teeny tiny number in the very bottom on the bottom right, or just really hard to find. So you don't want that for your customers. You want your customers and your prospects to be calling you. So you want to put your clearly have your phone number and your contact information in your blog, and if you can have it on your header, the better, because that is what is going to stay the same on every page, right? Because your header is the same typically on every page. You want your name prominently and your phone number in the header. All right? Now, some themes will give you the ability to customize the header. So you can add your name, your logo, a tagline, a phone number. Sometimes other themes are very basic and they won't allow you to do that many limitations. But again, it's just going to depend on your theme. All right, so we're going to move on to number five. Now, the fifth way that you can use your interior design blog as a generator is a lead generator, excuse me, is to add video to your front page or create a special video page or a gallery page with videos. I really like putting videos on the front page specifically because you can introduce yourself. Think of it as when a customer calls you or a prospect calls you out to the house for the first time and they meet you and they hear all about you, what you do. And it's a way to introduce yourself and your mission statement and talk about your business and your style and how you like to conduct your business. And if you can do that on the video on your front page, it cuts out one more step of the customer pre-qualifying themselves and saying, hey, I really like her. She's great, or he's awesome. I want to work with him. Where's that phone number? So the more you can do, the better. The one thing that I will say about the video is you want to keep it pretty short. People's attention span is not real long when it comes to video, especially introductory videos. So I would keep it, if you can keep it under a minute, the better. Just hit some top points, certain basic fundamental points, and chat a little bit about, you know, you and your business. Number six, the sixth way is answer every single question a prospect could ever ask you. And you want to include that on your blog. So if you have a frequently asked questions or a, you know, a get to know Georgia, Paige or something like that, or Susie, then that's gonna, you're gonna write out every single question that your customer has ever asked you. So, how long have you been in business? Do you have a style? Do you do modern or contemporary? Do you do residential or commercial? Do you have any specialties? Do you do, you know, custom cabinets? Everything that anybody has ever asked, you think back to all those years that you've been in business and write down every single question anybody has ever asked and any question they could ask that you want them to know about. Again, this is a pre-qualifying step where your customer is reading all these things about you and they're getting to know you, to like you, and to trust you. Now, what you can do is if you want to take a look at my website, HighDollarDesigner.com, I have a Get to Know Barbara page, and you'll see I've got quite a bit of questions on there and a lot of information, and each question just filling in my potential clients and my prospects with more information about my services and my business, okay? Now, the number seven way to use your interior design business as a lead generator, I'm sorry, to use your blog as a lead generator, is to create a slideshow of your work. Now, that's a really easy thing to do. There's free services online. One of them is called Animoto, Animoto.com. And they have a program where you can upload the photos, and they have a free service and they have a paid service. And basically, you just take pictures of the work you've done. You can put in a few words, and then it converts it into a video that you can put on your website. Now, another one is called SlideShare, SlideShare.com. And you can do that as well. You can include that on your blog. You can include them on your LinkedIn page, Facebook page. You can include them many different places when you create these slideshows. You can also do it in PowerPoint as well. Now, what you want to do with this slideshow is you want to include at least an opening page that talks about, you know, has your logo, the name of your business, and your phone number. And maybe your website, your pertinent information on the first page. You want to include anywhere between 3 and 10 photos maybe. I usually include maybe five to six photos. And then you want a closing page with your phone number, again, the name of your business and your website, and a call to action. Be sure to include a call to action that says, call today, or email me today, or anything like that. Now, number eight. This is a really fun way. I really like doing this on a blog. The number eight way to use your blog as a lead generator is to take one photo, and it can be either your photo, or it can be, you know, a photo in a magazine or online that you particularly like. And I would like to hear you do a running commentary about that photo. So you're going to write about, I really like this photo. It has the right balance. It has a good sense of style. The color on the walls are bright and cheery, or whatever it is about the photo that you like, or even what you don't like. Typically, it's kind of a little bit better to do what you like. But it also, what this does is it allows people to hear you in your writing and understand your sense of style. Maybe the things that you would do in a room like that, you could say, I would recommend doing this. And basically, you're just writing about this photo, and it's allowing your prospects to, again, get to know you, to like you, to see your sense of style, your design capabilities, what you would do differently, what you might do better, what you support. And they might see a picture on there, and you might write something that this is exactly the problem that they're having in their house, and that would be a fabulous way to secure them, to get them to call you. Now, the number nine way to use your blog as a lead generator is a little bit similar. And what you can do is you can include one photo, and this time, instead of writing a running commentary about the photo, you could include three tips. You could say, here's point three things out. Include a really beautiful flower arrangement on the table in your house, like, you know, this photo. Take a note of the crown molding, the style of crown molding at the ceiling line. This is a great way to, you know, draw your eye up to the ceiling. So if you can include several tips about one photo, they get to see you in action. And a lot of times people might be concerned, well, I'm giving away all my free information when I do that. But I don't want you to be worried about that, because oftentimes, I don't know if you've had this happen, but customers will try to do it themselves first. You know, they'll try to go through all the steps and figure it out themselves, and they can't do it, and it doesn't look good, and they've spent a lot of time, and they've wasted a lot of money.
Yeah,
and then they call you out, and you can show them, you know, because they've wasted so much already, then you can come out and do the work for them. So it's a really great way to do that, and I just can't tell you how many times that's happened to me. I've walked into a room, and I can just see the store-bought product. You know, I even see the bags and the receipts and the plastic wrap strewn all over the room. And these pathetic-looking drapes or window treatments just barely limply hanging on the window, and they're roasting, or they have no privacy. So they give in, and they, you know, call the expert, which your blog is showing them that you are the expert. All right?
Yep.
Now, the number 10 way, is that you, Georgia?
Yes.
Did you remember to hit *6 on your phone?
No, I didn't. Am I supposed to do that? Oh, so I moot you.
Yeah, but
I'll do that now. I'm sorry.
That's okay, Georgia. That's totally fine. Thank you. I appreciate it. All right. Now, number 10 of the 10 ways to use your blog as a lead generator is I want you to take one topic, and I want you to find three photos online to support it. So you might take one topic like, and again, I'll just use, you know, window treatments, the benefits of fabric shades on a window. And so you might say, these are some fabulous benefits, you know, to having a fabric shade on your window instead of a hard treatment. And so what you could do is you could go out and you could find three different styles of fabric shades. You could find a flat fold Roman shade. You could find a relaxed hem Roman shade and maybe a cloud shade, you know. And you might talk about a Roman shade is really great for a contemporary streamlined room or in small spaces. A relaxed hem Roman helps bring softness to a hard room, maybe a bathroom or a kitchen. You know, and a cloud shade might be great for a little girl's room. Any number of things that you can do to support one topic. So you might talk about your kitchen or a kitchen, the benefits of a dark kitchen. And so you'll go out and you'll get three photos and you'll include, you know, different pictures of three dark kitchens. And then maybe you'll include a light kitchen. But take one topic and include several photos to support the topic. So for something like that, this is a great way for those that don't like to write, because you don't necessarily have to do a lot of writing. You could just write a little blurb and then include three photos. So that's the number 10 way, and I hope that was helpful. And if you had any questions, I'd love to hear them from you. If you are happy to maybe shoot me an email, and I can write a little bit more about that in my next blog. Now, finally, the third thing that we're going to talk about today is how to eliminate the I don't know what to write about syndrome forever. Most people, when they blog, when they think about blogging, they get overwhelmed at the thought, oh, my gosh, I don't want to blog. What am I going to write about? I have no idea what to write about. Well, here's my secret tip that I do every time I write a blog. What I do is the first of the year, in January, when I'm planning for my year, I write what is called an editorial calendar for the entire year. Now, that may sound overwhelming, but it's actually quite simple, and it's very freeing to be able to do that. What you want to do is you want to just take one piece of paper, and I want you to write down on the left side every month, January, February, March, and include a couple spaces in between each month on your page. Then what you do is you fill in easy holiday months and tie in your offerings somehow to the month. So like in January is the first of the year, and a real obvious thing in January is getting organized after the holidays, right? So what you can do is you could write about how to get organized in for your decorating for the year. You know, lay out your decorating plan for the year. What would you like to do this spring? What would you be interested in this summer? Or here's how to organize your bookshelves. Here's some great photos on some, you know, clever book arrangements in your bookshelves. February, you know, Valentine's Day, you might include, you know, the color red might be a topic for that month. July, you could use, of course, the 4th of July and how to host entertain it with an outdoor party. September, back to school, decorating a kid's room or even an office. So once you fill out the obvious months that are pretty simple, then you can kind of look and see what's some of the gaps of what's missing in the products that you offer. So if you do bedding and window treatments and custom cabinets, and just make sure you get a good smattering of all the products that you offer and include one each month, one topic each month. It's really quite simple. Then once you get that made up and you print it out, you want to tack it up to a cork board or, you know, put it out somewhere where you can see it. And here's what happens. You'll be so surprised when you watch that, how your mind will start looking for ways to write about the topic of the month. You'll start coming to you, and there'll be all kinds of opportunities, and you get to a point where you have a lot of ideas, and which one should I write about? So the editorial calendar is a really great way to get rid of the whole thing behind not being able to write content. So, and then I do have one other way, another real fun way. It's kind of a bonus on how to have content for your blog. And it's a great way when you need to have something in a pinch and you're just, maybe you've got writer's block and you can't, or you're late or you're running behind or anything like that. The number one way to come up with new content in a pinch is don't do it yourself. So one, you can ask a friend to be a guest author. So you find a non-competing business, like maybe your flooring guy or your drapery workroom or your upholsterer or somebody that can write a guest spot for you on your blog. Somebody that's obviously non-competing and that isn't, you know, have the same customers, but they could write a specialty thing about flooring one month. And it would be a great way to have somebody else do some writing for you or borrow, you know, an article from their blog. Of course, you have to ask permission, but that's a great way. Another way you could get content in a pinch is to go to ezinearticles.com. That's spelled E as in Esther, ZINEARTICLES.com. And what you can do is you can go on there if you have downloaded my WordPress Boost Business with a WordPress Blog free ebook. I tell you a little more on how to do this, but you can get an article from EasingArticles.com and post it onto your blog. The only thing you have to make sure you always do is include the author box in the bottom. The author is the actual person who wrote the article. And it will have their link, you know, to their website. You have to make sure everything stays intact. And but you can include that on your blog. You are allowed to do that. The one thing that I would make sure that you do, if you do decide to do that, is to make sure that any content that you post on your blog is not from anybody that's local to you. Because obviously we don't want you promoting somebody else's blog. We want you promoting your blog. But you can write about somebody across the United States because, you know, or across Canada. Because, you know, obviously local customers are going to look for local designers first. And then they're going to spread out from there. So that's pretty much the end of our conference call today. And I just wanted to say how much I really appreciated having you on the call. And I do have a part two of the free ebook coming up. And it's not quite ready yet, but it does have quite a bit of more information on getting your blog optimized and working well and helping you with some customizations on the blog. And it's kind of it's called Boost Your Business with a Blog, and it's beyond the basics. So what I have is I've got an interest list. I'm going to be sending some information out about it, so go ahead and take a look at that. And if you have any questions, you're welcome to go ahead and hit *6 since we do have a few more minutes left, and I can answer any questions you might have at this time, and then we'll go from there. So go ahead and hit *6.
Well, I'm already here, so I'll ask.
Hi, Georgia.
That last website that you gave for articles, could you spell that again, Evenarticle?
Yep. Can you spell it? Don't say the words, though, because I'm too dyslexic for that. Just spell the letters.
Okay. Yeah. It's www.ezinearticles.com.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a fabulous resource. I really, really like it.
Barbara, on when you mentioned something about posting the author name at the bottom, that kind of reminded me of another question I wanted to ask is, when you're talking about posting pictures, whether it's to describe the picture, whatever, and depending on the website that you get them, how do you notate, because you don't want to take someone else's content of a picture, are you talking about pictures that we would specifically use of our own work, or are you talking about, I thought you said something about pulling a picture from the internet, but what about citing that on your page?
Typically what, it's best, of course, to use, if you can use your own content, the best. That's always the number one, the best way to go. So you always want to use your own. If you are unable to, don't have enough photos, you know, or you have a specific topic you want to write about but you don't necessarily have a photo, a couple of things that you can do, a really great thing is contact the owner and ask them, may I use your photo and blog about it on my site and give you credit. So what you would do is you would have them, you know, what would you like for me to write under the photo, and you can write, thank you to Mary Smith from MarySmithInteriors.com for the use of this photo, and blah, 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 blah. And then you write, you know, your information from there. Another thing you can do is you can get photos from vendors. So if you're writing about a kitchen, go find a great kitchen online, you know, from one of the vendors, cabinet companies, and may I talk about your blog, your photo about your kitchen? May I talk about it on my blog? They would love that because it's providing links. It's providing exposure for them, and they love it. They hand that stuff out liberally.
Okay. The other question
and
is
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. What were you saying?
I said they also have great photography. right? Professional photos from vendors.
I had to step away for just a second, and you had mentioned something. I think number 8 was SlideShare. What was the number 7, the website that you were spelling out when I came back?
Let me see. Was it Animoto?
That's probably.
It's
Animoto.
That one is. It's spelled A N I M O T O.
N O P O.
T O. Like Tom,
T-O.
A-N-I-M-O-T-O.
T-O, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I just want to take the time to thank you for speaking into other people's lives and businesses to try and encourage when really there's no financial benefit to you at this point. You know, just to take the time to do that for other designers, I think that's amazing. Thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome, Georgia. That's very sweet of you to say. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's very sweet. Is there anybody else? There was one other question, I thought.
I was going to ask. I got to remember what it was. Sorry. What's the disadvantage of using Blogger? I've been using Blogger and really, really, really love it, and just changed over to WordPress, and I know it's just a learning curve thing. And I'm going to make myself go to WordPress, but what's the disadvantage of being on Blogger? Is it because it's owned by Google and at any point they could cut you off, or what's the disadvantage?
Well, and what was your name?
Suzanne.
Oh, hi, Suzanne.
Hi.
Here's the thing about Blogger. Blogger is going to have the same disadvantages as WordPress.com. It is, you're not hosting it yourself. You are hosting it on, you know, bloggers. Blogger has control over your blog. There's a number of reasons.
Right.
One of them is you always want to have ownership of your content. Always, always, always.
Yeah.
You don't ever want to have anybody else have ownership of your content. Now, when I set up websites, because I do websites for people and I do blogs and I set everything all up, you know, there's a lot of web designers out there that will want you to host your site on their, you know, on their server. And I always say, no, 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 don't do it. I don't want to host your site. I want you to have control over your own site. Because what if something happened to a web designer or any number of things that could happen, and you need to have control over that.
Yeah,
so
no,
right.
It's the same with Blogspot, Blogger, WordPress.com. You need to have control over your own site and your material. Second,
I did have I had a thought that one day they'd cut me off and I'd lose everything I've done, which would be brutally horrible. So,
and it takes years sometimes for people to build their sites up. And the other thing is, it really does not look very professional to have your site hosted. When your customer clicks, you type in www.highdollardesigner.wordpress.com or .blogspot.com, it really doesn't look like you're taking your business seriously, and it doesn't look, because you're using a free service. And here's the thing, you're wanting to get high-end, big-budget clients. So you can't look like you're cutting corners, or you can't afford it, or...
Mm-hmm.
Because then you don't look like you, you know, doesn't look too great. Yeah. And the same with emails, too. I know this is a little off topic, but when you get your own WordPress.org site, your self-hosted site, you will be able to have your own email, georgia@georgiasinteriordesigns.com. You know, that is looks so much better, more polished, more branding, and you look more professional, especially in today's market.
That's perfect.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Anybody else? All right. Well, we're good. And you know what? I really so appreciate you guys being on the phone. And thank you so much for putting up with our technical difficulties. Don't forget to post comments or make some notes on Twitter if you enjoyed the call. And let the other designers out there know about your experience today. I'd really appreciate it.
Thanks, Barbara.
Thank you. Thanks, you guys. We'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.